This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Juice me up, Dan. For some reason, I got a lot of everybody else and less of me. Hey, and for most people, that's better.
Best show ever.
That is the best show ever. Carter, Cook, Hartman, all here on a Tuesday. We are trying to track down the elusive Shaletta Brundage.
I'm right here.
There we go.
Hey.
It's trending.
Juice me up. Juice me up.
Oh, absolutely. Bring in the grizzle. I just looked worldwide. Shaletta's dream is trending worldwide. Listen. I mean, you dreaming about me? I mean, listen, I can't blame you. You're only human.
The whole thing's disgusting.
I mean, you're only human.
It was more like a nightmare. My husband, I didn't tell my husband about this.
Yeah.
So this was new to him when I talked about it on Corey Heppler's show. And the first text I got was, what in the hell are you doing dreaming about Chad Hartman?
That's right. I mean, listen.
I was like, ooh, what had happened was. Yeah.
By the way, Corey, I love you. But the idea he's never dreamed about another woman and a little something-something.
Corey full of caca. Yeah. That's we going to start calling him Caca Corey.
Caca. I like that. Is that with a K or a C?
We're going to go ahead and do the K's like the Kardashians.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what we're going to do.
Carter, if you... We'll get to Shaletta's dream in a second, but this is the question Shaletta posed to Corey, and he bobbed and weaved. So don't bob or weave. If you have a dream tonight that you engage in a little something-something, with someone else, are you sharing that with the lobster?
Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
You're going to say, hey, just want to let you know.
You asked the snitch that?
I had passionate sex in my dream with someone else.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say, you know what? I had passionate, great sex with someone in a dream. I'm going to say, God,
I had a dream
and... I mean, I was with so-and-so. Can you believe that? I'm not going to say, oh, God, it was great. Why can't you do some of the things she was doing in the dream last night?
I paid on myself.
If you go to that level, could you Facebook Live it?
You know, I took some notes when I woke up, and I want you to go over with me.
Here are some things that she did and you didn't do.
I took a selfie in my dream. I want you to see these pictures.
Now, I know this isn't physically possible. But if we could just try it out.
Okay. Ratio of people who would tell their partner that Shaletta, if you had a dream and it's somebody I've never heard of, but you and this guy threw down.
Mm-mm.
You're not telling Sean,
no
are you?
I'm a snitch like Adam Carter. Yeah. I'm going to wake up
How
and start
snitching?
Making eggs and bacon.
I'm snitching on myself.
Yeah, but you're a snitch.
I mean, all around.
Okay, great. We've established
yeah.
it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a total snitch.
Mm-hmm. The snitch.
If he right, tell on himself, we
right
don't stand
to the
a
boss
chance.
When we're done,
yeah.
I'm the mole.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is the ultimate snitch, Shaletta. When you're snitching on yourself.
On your own self.
It's almost like it's an addiction. He has a snitching addiction. No, I am not telling Carla if I was having great sex with somebody during the dream and I am still glistening and just joyful
you
and
skipping
tingling.
Skipping around the house? Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. Cook?
Come on, Adam.
Cook?
Well, see, the problem for me is that I have a lousy poker face. I mean, I'm terrible. So I wake up with a big old smile and somebody would know something's going on.
That's not it.
I was going to say, when you said big old smile, I was worried about where you were going. So what is the dream that's trending worldwide? Shaletta is going to tell you in moments. But here he is, the snitch. Because you know what he's going to do right now? He's going to provide you with the news just like he provides everybody with the information. Adam Carter. Steve Fletcher will join us, as Adam mentioned, during the news update. 1 o'clock hour yesterday, conversation with Jay Ettinger, owner of the Poorhouse. Jay was direct, specific in his criticism towards the leaders in the city of Minneapolis, and in particular Steve Fletcher, about what he is doing, what he is not doing. Mr. Fletcher, during the conversation, reached out. We already were planning on reaching out to him, as I will say, because we had to tape this because he had a flight today. I appreciate his accommodations today, so we will play that at the bottom of the hour. Our friend Jamie Uecker is normally with us at 1:35. She'll be with us at 2:35 today. So I did receive a text. I actually received two texts from Shaletta. First, to me, can I talk about a dream that I had last night? Then it was the dual text, which Adam was circled back. I can't repeat the comment that Adam offered up in the text. It was sick and it was disgusting, as always.
Mm-hmm.
No one is surprised about it. So go ahead and share the dream for the folks who did not hear you sharing this with Corey earlier.
So I had a dream last night, because Chad, you always talk about your insomnia and how you're trying everything possible to get more sleep at night. And when you do that, which is a real problem, Adam always makes fun of you.
Does.
And so that always gets under my skin.
Respect my feelings.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Nice. And so apparently
he's too
it was
busy
on my heart.
Snitching somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, telling on somebody, including himself.
Yeah.
And so it was on my heart last night when I was
praying for you. Thank you.
And so when I went to sleep, I had a dream that Adam Carter came to us, you and I, Chad, and he said, hey, I heard about this news story. If you can do massive amounts of cocaine, it will help you sleep at night.
Because that really
works.
That really is the M.O. for cocaine.
That is right.
Puts you right to sleep.
So you and I went out looking for drug dealers.
Sure.
So we could buy cocaine.
Yeah,
I was with you.
Why
you
not?
Know I'm ride or die.
Yeah.
And so you and
Unlike
I were riding
Adam.
Around town. Right.
Yeah.
Back at the headquarters. So you and I were riding around town. We found us a drug dealer.
We made
our transaction. And then we were like, where are we going to go to smoke all this cocaine? Because I was with you. I was going to smoke it too. I want you to be by
your
yourself.
Team player.
Yes. And so I was like, we can't go to my house because I got the kids. And then you got Quentin at your house. And so we were like, let's go up to WCCO radio. We'll close the door in the break room, turn the lights off, because, you know, they got that shadow glass. You can't really see in there. So we'll just do the cocaine in the break room.
In the green room.
In the green room. Right.
Really?
I got a brick of cocaine in the green room.
I got to say, so far, just commentary on this room, we're not very bright in this dream. Number one, we think Coke's going to help us sleep. And then we're going to go back to WCCO to line up the lines right there.
That was you after.
That was me coming on the green room. Okay.
And so we're in there and we're doing the cocaine.
Sure.
And Adam Carter comes in. He was like, great, you guys found some cocaine. Great. That's good. Okay, Chad, I hope you can sleep well at night. And he immediately goes around the corner. Adam Carter finds the boss and snitches on us.
Yeah. I thought I'd be right. I'd have Chief
He's
Madeira
the one who
Arredondo
told us to get to
with
cocaine.
Me. I'd have the chief with me. Hey, look what's going on in here.
God. The dream seemed, you know, one that I couldn't believe until the end. Then it seemed lifelike at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That Adam would come in there and snitch on somebody.
Not only snitch, set you up.
Set us up. And then be a suck up to the boss. Because we've talked about this a lot. There's nobody here in the 20 years who's a bigger butt kisser than Carter, right? Even though I don't think he's headed up to the third floor the entire time I've been here.
He doesn't even know we have a third
floor. No, he does not.
Where those stairs go?
Yeah.
Is that where the bosses are?
Yeah, exactly. That is commitment to trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were willing to try anything, and you know,
we
the dream started off bad because we listened to Adam.
That's crazy, though, because legitimately last night I tried to go to bed at like 10:15, and I could not go to bed, and I had that leg situation that you always talk about.
Yes.
And I'm like, this
is
crap. Yeah, it's horrible.
It is torture.
And I was trying to hang my legs over the side, so I just rolled over, did a big fat line of cocaine, and I was out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great.
And then I had crazy sex with all these women, and I told the lobster in the morning. Well, okay, here's another part of my sleep. So I didn't snore most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Carla recorded me snoring the other day. Okay, so does that mean I've got the sleep apnea now later in my life?
That could be the problem.
I don't know.
That could be the whole problem.
But you've done sleep studies before.
I've done sleep studies, but I don't fall asleep. I literally cannot fall asleep. I've done four of them, and all four, like, between two and four, they're like, go home. Now, I did one where they gave it to me at home, but it didn't judge things as specific on that. Maybe it's time to line up the Coke tonight.
I mean,
now, would you put the mask on? If they said, put the mask on, would you sleep with all that?
Because
my dad does the sleep apnea. And this, I mean, this, he looks like, the kids thought he was like an astronaut. They were like, is grandpa going to outer space tonight? Because we're down in Houston, and they're like running in there in the morning to wake him up. Well, and he's got this tube and his, you know, this mask, and it's making a lot of noise.
As twitchy as I am.
I can't see you doing that.
Plus, if I did all that cocaine and I had that mask on, Carter, I mean, if I'm running around the neighborhood with the mask on, just lit up on coke, that would be a bit of a problem, I think. Might make our state fair shows more memorable, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think anybody would forget it.
No, I don't know. How is Houston since we last chatted with you?
Man, I'm eating everything. I look pregnant. I need a maternity dress and some Slim Fast. We're having a great time. We're eating. We're loving on family. We're riding over to Louisiana today to get something called Boudin for Henry Lake because I know he's going to want some when I get back.
What are you
getting
him?
And then my other husband. Boudin. It's a spicy sausage. I'll get enough for the studio and I'll bring some when I come back.
Well, not the studio. Just for me.
Look. That's what happened with the cocaine in the dream. He took more than me, even though he paid for it.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, if you think about it, you know, Carter's a snitch, so why are we bringing him anything? And I won't eat it, so you won't bring
anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care about, you know, if the overnight folks get Boudin, H. Lake, and me. So it's like a spicy sausage.
It's a spicy Louisiana sausage, and I have to drive. Let me tell you how good it is. I have to drive 2 hours one way to get it.
You think there's any chance Carter would do that for either one of us?
Not unless he's driving 2 hours to snitch.
Carter, you driving two? Are any chance you drive?
Depends how good the sausage is.
Well, she's not getting it for herself. She's
getting it for
others.
And
well,
my
she's
husband.
Getting some for herself. I mean, let's not fool ourselves here.
Are you eating some of the Boudin?
No, I'm not. See, look at him.
See?
It's just like the cocaine. I went to get that for Chad Hartman and you snitched on that.
I know. I sent him a compliment in a text the other day. You know what he says to me? You must be drunk.
Well, when you start out the text saying I'm completely sober, that's clue number one. I'm not on cocaine right now, but if I was, I'd be sleeping.
Wait a sec. I said I was sober. I didn't say I was high on coke. Those are two separate categories, to be clear.
Okay,
well, I think sobriety is the same either way you look at it.
I had 3 babies in 2 years. I can't be laughing this hard without a nearby bathroom. I'm in a foreign studio. I don't know where the restroom is.
All right, where are the gloves? Are the gloves on or off?
Told you I don't have to wear gloves in here because it's clean.
Well, it's been a few days since you were in there, so I didn't know if anything had changed.
No, I brought them, but I don't need them because it's clean.
Love talking to you as always. You
love
travel
you
safe.
Okay. I will.
Will we see you Friday?
We will see you in the studio on Friday.
With my sausages.
Fantastic. Yes.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Travel safe. The great Shaletta Brundage with us. It's 12:23. That is the Lindis construction time check. Time to learn why Lindis is the top installer of LeafGuard brand gutters in the entire world. We're going to go kind of quick because we taped this conversation with Steve Fletcher. It's about 15 minutes. It's a reaction to a conversation with Jay Ettinger yesterday. I know a number of people listened and reacted to that. That still is available. WCCRadio.com/Chad, the interview with Steve Fletcher. You'll be able to hear live. You want to go back to it. You want to tell people about it. Probably by 1:15 or so. That interview will be available. WCCRadio.com/Chad. We had some fun with the Vikings yesterday and the kicking situation, Adam and Dan. As part of overrated, underrated, properly rated. Can the Vikings just stop on this? Well, you know, we're not certain how we might use them, and I got to learn more about them. They didn't give up a fifth-round draft choice to use them to punt. Okay, can we just agree with that? You're not going to trade a fifth-round pick for a punter or a holder. If you want to convince me that maybe early you're going to give Bailey a chance to maybe kick him from 45 and in, and the new guy, what's his new guy's name again? Kerry Vidvec, I think it is. and he's going to kick the longer ones, I'm all in on that. But come on, Carter. You buying this? It's just an NFL talent, and we just acquired him, and we're really not certain how we're going to use him yet. He's going to kick field goals this year, period.
Yeah, I don't believe anything that really comes out of NFL team headquarters with any kind of certainty as to what they're going to do with any particular player. But you never know. I mean, maybe he can do it all.
How about it?
Snap, hold, kick, punt?
Listen, if he holds also while kicking.
That'd be special.
Then he's really good.
That's something. I don't think that's been, I think that would set a record. I don't think that's been done before.
He'd be another
blocker up there.
Can I play the Rube on the show? Because of course, the Rube explanation is obviously, well, you know, you want to make sure that other team special teams coordinator has to prepare. Is it Bailey that's kicking?
Yeah.
We don't know. We got to prepare for both.
That's true. And then here's the deal. If he's lined up to kick and then you hike it back and he punts it.
Pooch it.
Carter, we are diversified.
Oh, for sure.
You don't know what we might do. Who kicks more field goals this year? Dan Bailey or is it Vidvec? Do I have it right here? Am I forgetting how to say the guy's name?
Vic Damone is his name, and I think Vic will kick more.
Yeah, I'm all in. Kerry Vedvic. Kerry Vedvic. I kind of like that name. Kerry Ved. Cook, who's going to kick more field goals?
Vedvic,
yeah. Vic Damone will kick more. 12:30, traffic, weather, and a conversation with Steve Fletcher coming up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Chief Madera Arredondo has been in law enforcement for 30-plus years, and he's begging for help. And this guy has the arrogance to believe he knows what's better for the city.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday afternoon. Chad Hartman with you here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. Certainly, we spent an hour yesterday with someone who I've mentioned before is a friend of mine. So I want to acknowledge that again. Jay Ettinger. Jay, part owner of the Poorhouse. He has owned a number of businesses downtown. He's been involved in a lot of causes downtown. And Jay, yesterday, during our 1 o'clock hour, you can podcast that, WCCOradio.com/Chad was very pointed. We just played comments from Jay right before we begin this conversation with Steve Fletcher. Steve Fletcher is a member of the city council, including parts of downtown. And Jay, you just heard, was very pointed in his criticisms towards Steve Fletcher. Steve was kind enough to reach out yesterday during the conversation and has made himself available and truly has accommodated his schedule to come on today. So I appreciate that. Steve, when you hear Jay's comments and is saying that you believe that you know better for the city of Minneapolis than the police chief, Madera Arredondo, who's been a part of the city of Minneapolis police for 30 years. How do you react to that specific comment?
So, listen, I have a lot of respect for Chief Arredondo, and I value his judgment on a lot of things, and he and I collaborate on a lot of things. But it's also my job. I was elected to look at our city budget and to make judgments about a lot of things that as a representative of the people, there's a reason that we want civilian oversight of police, but not just police. I mean, we vote on the public works budget, and I'm not a traffic engineer. And by the way, they think they need a whole bunch more people too. And I vote on the CPED budget, and I'm not a city planner. And they think they need a lot more people too. And so there's a part of the job of city council is to look at budget requests with a little bit of skepticism, to say, is this really the right approach? Is this really going to have the impact that is represented by these dollars? And, you know, to think critically on behalf of the people that we represent.
You also, and we played this quote just before you came on, before traffic and weather, when you were talking about the narrative in Minneapolis about violence, and in your view, as we played the soundbite, it's actually going the other way. Your quote was that crime is trending down and Minneapolis is getting safer and safer. Nationwide, we do have a lot of numbers which show crime is going down. We have numbers in parts of Minneapolis where crime is going down. But I just look at numbers from about a month ago from the city of Minneapolis, not just me, from the city of Minneapolis, which showed that crime, violent crime, from 2017 to 18 fell 27%. That's excellent. But that this year, and that's this is as of a month ago, that violent crime in downtown Minneapolis is up 22%. Isn't that just factual data about the crime being up in downtown?
Sure. And I think one of the things that you got to think about is, are we thinking short term? Are we thinking about the long view? Are we thinking, you know, in terms of a programmatic policy? Because it's very easy to get caught up in short term changes and read that as a trend. And I think that that's sometimes a mistake. So, you know, the same CCO article where I'm quoted from pointed out that 2017 was a 30-year low. So we've been trending down. We've been trending towards safety in downtown. And there's been a bit of a turn the wrong way this summer compared to last summer. And so if you just look at last summer, which was the 30-year low, compared to this summer, you will find that statistic. It's a true statistic.
But
it's also true that in general, over the last 5 years, crime is trending slightly down. It's basically flat. And, you know, you've got to correct for noise in data a little bit. You know, we're policymakers. We have to think long term.
So let me separate from Jay, because Jay's not the only business owner spoken about this.
Sure.
Here's from WCCO-TV. Tim Mahoney, the Loon, part owner of the Loon. All of a sudden, it's 12:30. They're like, you know what? We don't want to be a part of the shenanigans down here. We're going home, talking about some of his customers. More from Tim. We're tired of violence down here. We're tired of people getting beat up. We're tired of people being robbed. We're tired of people being shot. We're tired of it. Kristen Hicks is the bar manager of the 508 Bar and Restaurant. Downtown is getting a little bit crazy. There's lots of violence down here. One of my security guards was actually shot. So this is separate from Jay, business owners who see it every day. I know Dermot Cowley, the owner of O'Donovan's, which is right around the corner also, feels the same way. Are these folks distorting the truth, or are they reflecting what they're seeing on a daily basis?
Oh, I don't think they're distorting the truth, and I think that there is reason to be frustrated. I'm not, by talking about trends, by talking about statistics, I'm not minimizing what people are feeling and seeing, and I'm not saying that the level that we're at is okay. I want to see crime go down. We all want to see crime go down. What I don't want to do is say, this is the worst I've ever seen it, because anybody who's been spending time downtown for the last 25 years would tell you that that's not true. And so the question is, you know, what do we do about what's happening this summer? And what you learn when you really dig into this is that there are different solutions for different problems that come up. It's not just one thing called crime that becomes a very easy thing to solve by hiring more police, and then we've solved it.
Okay, so I know you believe in the root cause, and I want to get to that in a second, because that absolutely does matter. Steve Fletcher is our guest, member of the city council, reacting to our conversation with Jay Ettinger yesterday, and reacting to the numbers on crime in downtown Minneapolis over this year and previous years. If we are going to react to specifically what is happening this summer, what would you do?
So one of the things that we are doing is we've invested in an Office of Violence Prevention that is working to intervene in cycles of retaliation. Most of the stuff that's happened downtown is social activity that didn't initiate downtown, and it's people who know each other and who are in relationship with each other. And if we can disrupt those cycles through outreach, through social work, through finding people alternatives to being part of those cycles of violence, it's way better if they never come downtown with a gun in the first place. And so that's what we're really trying to achieve.
Isn't that more the root cause, right? And those matters, they are a huge part of this. There is no doubt. And I do not want to downplay those. But I'm now trying to look more specifically at what is taking place now in downtown? And I've heard this from multiple business owners suggesting, and Jay did yesterday, he's not the only one who's told me this, that they believe from conversations they have with police in Minneapolis because of other a period of years of what has happened, both viewed positively and negatively towards the Minneapolis police, that they feel like they're somewhat restricted in what they can do in trying to stop the violence before it happens. Do you think that argument has any merit?
I don't. I mean, I think that if somebody thinks that the way to create safety is to criminalize doing nothing wrong on the street and just being, then yeah, we're constraining people. But honestly, you know, we want to see people breaking up fights. We want to see our officers engaged in downtown safety. And I think when people see that not happening, I'm not convinced that their hands are tied the way they're sometimes telling people that they are.
Okay, we're going to pause right there. We're going to come right back, continue the conversation with Steve Fletcher. I want texts on this, and I want phone calls. We'll try to squeeze in both those when we finish, maybe even over into the early part of next hour. You listen to Steve Fletcher, council member for the heart of downtown Minneapolis. You heard Jay Ettinger yesterday. They have very different views on what is taking place right now and what should take place. We come back, I'm going to pick up on the conversation, ask Steve about a trip he took to Philadelphia last year, which has generated some reaction about his view and the role of police. That comes up in moments on CCO. When I mentioned you were coming on, I had a couple people reach out to me, and they were aware that you were at an event in the last year or so. You can provide me the specifics.
Sure.
At an event in Philadelphia where you spoke passionately about the police and racism. Can you expand on that a little bit just so I can understand what you said and so it's not taken out of context?
So I went to Philadelphia with Inspector Frizzell and with Shane Zahn from DID and with several of the people who've been part of our sort of nightlife collaboration group. So Joanne Kaufman from the Warehouse District Business Association and Joan Vorderbruggen from Hennepin Theater Trust. And we had a really constructive conversation, I thought, about the things that we were doing in terms of downtown nightlife and the things that we were doing collaboratively together. We actually presented on a panel about a lot of the things that we were doing collaboratively. So I'm not sure what the exact comments are.
Well, I heard from a couple people, and that's why I want to hear from you, that you talked about the police and parts of it regarding institutionalized racism. Did that come up at all?
That sounds like something I would say, sure.
Okay. Can you expand on that a little bit?
I don't remember the exact context, but it is true that one of the challenges that we have is, in an environment of institutionalized racism, it is not evenly distributed who is in a position of desperation, right? And so when we, for example, the controversial thing that the mayor did, around marijuana stings, I totally supported him in that because I think the disproportionate likelihood that someone who is living in abject poverty and is going to end up out on a corner trying to sell a small amount of weed is pretty clear. And is that the officer's fault? No, not necessarily. But if the effect that we're having with our policing, by policing low-level offenses, nonviolent offenses, is to put an awful lot of African Americans in jail and to continue the cycle of giving people records that then make it harder for them to find work and find places to live, then we're creating a much longer term problem for ourselves, even if we're making ourselves making some business owners feel a little bit better in the very, very short term.
So let me ask you this, because we've had a lot of studies over the years on profiling. On racial profiling. And there has been some startling data at times. When you look at the city of Minneapolis on the police department side, do you think they have a problem with racial profiling within the department?
I think that the numbers suggest that it's something that we need to look into. And it's something that the community has been raising around the question of, why are we producing the kind of racially disparate results that we are? It is not a particularly black or white trait, for example, to speed. But if you look at who gets pulled over for speeding, or to have a taillight out, but if you look at who gets pulled over for having a taillight out and then who gets their car searched when they get pulled over for having a taillight out, I do think that some of those things are concerning. And I'd like to see a study of it because there is this very tough to separate thing between, there's the personal bias of police, which may or may not be a factor, and we need to study it. I need to know more.
It does sound to me like you believe in it, but you just want the stats to back it up. Is that too far?
I would be surprised if we found zero bias. But I also like want to acknowledge that they're operating in the context of a society that creates a lot of institutional inputs that, you know, that impacts who they're talking to. So I do think that there are practices that we probably need to change.
Where do you stand, sir, on the cameras that are now in downtown Minneapolis? They were enhanced dramatically when the Super Bowl was in play. Do you think that's a good addition, or do you think that's going too far?
I think it's a good addition. And the thing that I raised questions about at the time, because I was on record as having some concerns about it, was about who would have access to the footage and how long was it going to be stored? And were we going to use facial recognition along with it? Because that actually really changes the impact on people's civil liberties.
And have those issues been resolved?
They have for now. So we only store the footage for 14 days.
Okay.
And so it's really only used unless somebody flagged it for an investigation. And we don't currently use facial recognition software, except in a few cases where we have footage of someone committing a crime, we'll use Hennepin County's facial recognition system. And so we're not keeping a record of where everybody goes downtown. We're not violating people's rights, but having those cameras has been useful to really understand what's happening.
So last thing here, and I'll let you go, and I really appreciate your time. Steve Fletcher from the city council with us. Mayor Fry and the chief have talked at different times about numbers. Chief Arredondo's talked about 400 more officers over a 6-7 year period of time. Mayor Fry's talked about a smaller number. Do you believe that we need more police officers ASAP for the safety of downtown Minneapolis, or is that an exaggeration?
So I am not convinced right now that we have a plan for what we would do with more officers that would make people safer. So I think
The police chief saying he wants more?
He is, absolutely. And I need to see what he wants to do with them. Because a lot of times when we're talking about policing the way that we currently do it, it's not actually producing the results that we want. Policing is a reactive force, right? If we could hire psychic police, I'm going to steal a line from a council member in Durham who I heard say this, who I think is really smart. I think if we could hire people who could predict where crime was and stop it before it happened, then great. But we can't. It's going to be reactive.
But, and sir, if it's up 22% in downtown Minneapolis, don't we have an idea where it's taking place?
Sure. Absolutely. And then, you know, the other set of questions that we're going to have to answer is, does our Federation contract even allow us to assign the resources in the places that we would want it?
Steve, I appreciate your time, and I thank you for accommodating your schedule. And we'll reach out again.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. All right, let's get to texts and phone calls to Fletcher today, Jay Ettinger yesterday. You want to compare and contrast. You want to give your opinion any way you certainly can. Also, Bob Kroll is going to join us at 1:10. Mike is in Minneapolis. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. I just recently talked with a coffee shop owner. Well-established company that's downtown. He had to close because of, as the councilman says, these people who are doing nothing. It's a hard thing to pin down an exact cause, you know. But I think it's pretty clear when you've got, they had to take out the patio seating because people were just squatting all day long. And
did he feel like he was getting any response from the police or the city on how he'd deal with
no.
it?
I don't think so. You know, and I have not. I haven't seen any cops walking the beat around the, you know, on this block. You know, and I think more police. The councilman says that policing is reactive, and he's got a fair point to a point. I think that being proactive is having more cops on the street, walking around, talking to people, getting to know them, and I think that goes a lot farther than maybe the councilman realized.
I agree with you 100% on that. You know, when Mr. Fletcher's saying, well, if we could just predict this, if we know the numbers are up in certain parts of downtown Minneapolis, don't we have to zero in on those areas? We're right back and want more reaction after CBS News.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.